Hello, everyone. Today is Thursday, July 17, 2025, and this is the week in charts. I just want to thank all you guys and girls for attending today. I do a horrible job of promoting this show. I do a great job of spending a lot of time working on my slides, but not such a good job when it comes to promoting the show. Anyway, what are we talking about? Well, obviously, current market conditions, your questions on trading, feel free to type those in as we go. If lots to talk about with the methodology in action, actually kind of dovetails in a lot or entirely, mostly with the Million Little Things, which I'm going to revisit one of them, which I think is real important. And I like to show you things as they unfold and how they unfold. And I think I've said this before, but that's kind of like the missing piece. It's like you read a book on trading. It's like, oh, this looks pretty good. You try it out, doesn't work. And then you scratch your head. And then you later find out that, well, maybe you didn't use the setup as the author intended or whatever. But I feel like going through the methodology in action and going through these things as they occur and all these lessons, I think it really helps to flesh out what it is like to be a trader. And just real quick, I was earlier today, I was at a gym thinking in between sets that I really didn't have a lot of psychology this week, but the reality is it is a lot of psychology because I'm going to get into hanging on to positions and following the plan a lot. That's very psychological in nature. That's going to make sense in 1 second. Anyway, there's a disclaimer screen, or there was a disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading, or as I often sum it up, all predictions about the future, a lot of stuff between now and then. There's all my contact information. Feel free to obviously shoot a screenshot and check me out. All right, let's talk about the mystery charts and the methodology in action. This is one we talked about last week, and I went into a lot more detail. So if you go in and watch last week's week of charts, or I have a playlist called Methodology in Action on YouTube. So check that out, youtube.com/Dave Landry. But anyway, there's the parameters down below. It's the first one in the list. Entry is here. Stop is there. Initial profit target is up here. This was a double top knockout, and then it became more of a pullback. And it's a fairly deep pullback and fairly long pullback, but I still think it's worthwhile given the big blue arrows and everything else. Bigger picture wise, it still looks like it's in a great trend. Here's another mystery chart. And what's cool here is lots of Landry light is illustrated below about 50 bars before it pulls back to the moving average. In case somebody's new to my methodology, the illustrator below, I like to call my indicators illustrators because they don't indicate anything. They just show you what's already in the chart, is a count of how many bars, how many lows are above the moving average or how many highs are below the moving average for downtrend. So nice uptrend. You can just eyeball it. You can take a look at it and see, or you can look at the Landry light and notice it comes down to zero when it intersects the moving average. That's a Landry light pullback. The other thing too is notice that this is a very persistent move higher. Persistency mathematically is equivalent to linear regression, but I just like to draw a line through as many bars as possible and often just eyeball it. But anyway, there's the parameters. Entry is here, stop is down here, and initial profit target is up here, and so far it hasn't triggered. Here's another mystery chart. In fact, we're going to give this one a reveal. This is VG, and the parameters are down below. You can see entry of 1745, and then the stop is at 1195, and the IPT is 2295. And percentage-wise, that's a big number. Are those big numbers? But if you look at the chart, they're not that big given the volatility of the stock. And you can see it was headed higher, and then it began to accelerate higher. And there's your Landry light there. Also, as mentioned last week, bigger picture cup and handle working. It's good to have these classical technical analysis patterns sort of as a backstop to what you're doing and not necessarily trade them in and of themselves, but it does help to pay attention to what's going on with a bigger picture technical analysis and then have your setup set up within that bigger picture technical analysis, kind of like the Russian doll theory. Anyway, the stock pulls back, hits a moving average, land your light goes to zero. That's a land your light pullback. Entry is there, stop is down here, initial profit target is up there. So far, not so good. We're going to come back to all these in just one second. Here's BTM, which was not a mystery chart because it's set up and I recommended it in between shows. By the way, if you want to look at the archives of these and warts and all, DaveLanner.com/archives. And if you want to see the newer ones, and I started this a few months back, I started putting it on YouTube much more recently because I have international clients and they're using YouTube to translate. And so I also post the services to as a private video. And then after about a week or so, depending on when everything triggers, I go ahead and make those public. So that's youtube.com/Dave Landry. And you can find the playlist as Dave Landry's Core Trading Service. Anyway, lots of Landry light there, pulls back to the moving average. There's all your parameters down here. The entry was 580. We haven't moved the stop yet. The stop was 450. Initial profit target of 760. Let's take a look at that on a chart. Entry, stop, and then IPT accordingly. We take half of the position off at the initial profit target, the IPT, and then we bring the stop up intraday to break even on that. And the idea is to establish a free position. And that's one of the million little things. If you can establish enough free positions, you'll do quite well longer term. Anyway, just real quick, because we kind of beat the dead horse on this TFM 10% system, it's starting to get a little traction. I'm getting some feedback on Twitter and other places based on this, and some people have really taken the ball and ran with it. I'm going to have to research that. Is it run with it, ran with it? I always get that messed up. But anyway, we had a sell not too long ago. And then, I guess you could argue that that was a bit of a whipsaw signal. It happens. And we had two bars of Landry light, and the buy was right there. And if you go in and watch last week's methodology in action, you'll see, or the week of charts, you'll see that I talked about how I don't like buying on weakness. But that's this when I designed a system, I didn't think about that sometimes you would be buying on weakness. I prefer to wait for the market to turn back up, which it did, obviously. And so far, so good. Based on that signal. All right, let's talk about the Landry 100. Now, I have done a little bit of experimenting with this with live money. But for the most part, this is just kind of a proof of concept thing. And so far, it's been wonderful as far as analysis is concerned, which I'm going to get into quite heavily in just one second. And it's been kind of fun to do. I know you want to party with me. But the main thing is, as I've been saying quite a bit, speculation is alive and well. And all of these stocks, now this is the first, I guess, 50 or so, you could see, and I have them sorted by percent change. So this list looks really good. The bottom list doesn't look quite as good. However, you got to remember that we're doing a constant window dressing. Or reallocation, however you want to look at it. I guess window dressing would be the best way to look at it, where we're putting good stocks in and we're taking bad stocks out. Reminds me of a story. I was going to add this to one of my articles. I've said it 1,000 times, but years and years ago, I walked into the gym and I had a long face. I was all pissed off because I lost a lot of money in stocks. And on that particular day, the girl behind the counter is like, "What's wrong?" Because I tend to wear my feelings on my sleeves. I cry like a schoolgirl when I'm forced to watch a Nicholas Sparks novel, as I've said quite often. I also cry like a schoolgirl when I willingly watch a Formula One documentary. They usually end badly, FYI. But anyway, so I walk into the gym, and she's like, "Oh, I love face. What's wrong?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm in a bunch of bad stocks." And she said, "Well, sell them and buy some good ones." I was like, "Oh, what do you know? I got an MBA." Apparently, she knows a lot more than me about trading. So basically, you take the bad stocks out and leave the good stocks in. If you could just do that in life, in actual trading, you probably would do okay. Now, all these are bought at new highs. I'm not suggesting you rush out and buy a bunch of stocks at new highs. Actually, I am suggesting, if that's the way you're going to do it, buy a bunch of stocks at new highs. Don't just buy an individual stock making new highs, because the chances are it's going to correct fairly sharply and you're buying into the overbought situation. But if you buy enough of them, eventually you catch the 200, 300, 400%, and occasionally 3,000% move with this type of trading. Breakouts, as a general statement, usually fail. Okay. However, if you buy enough of them, you'll be successful. So, somebody, I think it was Jeff in here, was talking about maybe you don't quite need 100 stocks. I'm not sure how you would go about that. And the problem that I have, and I have a client, he's really smart, and he sends me a lot of stuff that's, where he uses statistics. And my only problem is markets aren't normally distributed, and you got to be really careful when you start using statistics and mathematics. Because remember, you're dealing with emotions. I was trying to explain to an older guy in a gym this morning how markets work. And he, I think he actually understood what I was saying, as opposed to some younger guys. They're always trying to, like, what about tariffs? What about this? What about that? And what about the situation in Nigeria? And the thing is, markets move on psychology, and a lot of people buy and sell for a variety of reasons that have nothing to do with the underlying market. As Tom McClelland's mother said, late mother said, paraphrasing, some people buy when they have money, some people sell when they need money, and others use far more sophisticated methods, and many of which have nothing to do with the stock itself. And I got that quote from Tom McClelland. I know it's a popular quote, it's all over the internet elsewhere, but I never heard it. And Tom McClelland gave a really good speech, and I talked a lot about this in Trading Full Circle, but he gave a speech where he talked about, because this was at the American Association of Professional Technical Analysts conference, and he was talking about the fact that the people who bought the stock before you are more of a concern than all these other wonderful things, fundamentals, so to speak. And he said, and he ended his speech with, "And those people will screw you." And think about it, things happen, and they might just dump that stock for no good reason, or maybe they got busted or something, and the wife got a good lawyer, and they have to raise some capital because she now gets half of the stuff. Anyway, all these were bought at brand new highs, and if you go in and look at a lot of these, you'll see, just probably pick a random one, that it probably did have a bit of a drawdown soon after buying. Not all of them go straight up right away. In fact, this one took a while to get going. It took a few weeks or even a month or so, but for the most part, it remained right at or above where it was purchased, so to speak. So that's a 478% run. Now, it has drawn down significantly. It hasn't come out just yet. If it takes out probably the recent lows, I'll probably pull it out of the list. And right now, I'm finding plenty of stocks to go in, so I'm kicking out more and more stocks and putting in more and more better stocks. I'm sell them and buy some good ones. Anyway, so that's a pretty decent run there. And then if you go back and look, there's pretty good runs in these. And I do publish this list on Substack for my paid subscribers, and I also publish it in Facebook for my Facebook group, Dave Landry's Trend Traders. You do have the group is free, but you have to qualify by being a member of DaveLandry.com. You have to be a gold member or a service member. A little soft sell there. As I was going live, I was thinking of, like, some of the use cases for this, and obviously you can see where the money's flowing, and we'll get into that in just one second. One thing I've been experimenting with a little bit is, and we're kind of getting into that sort of market where it might work. A while back, and I know I've told the story a thousand times, in 1999, I used to do this a lot too, back when the market was blowing and going. But I had one client that told me that twice, and I think one time was way back in 99, and one time in between when the market was really going straight up. He would just buy the top four or five stocks in my Landry 100 and stay in those top four or five all day. And he was actually using a free app, like a CNBC app or something, and he was just using his phone, and he would just do that trading in between his job. And he did really well, and he told me that he was able to fund two down payments on two separate investment properties. So that was kind of a that made me feel really, really good, obviously. But anyway, this is kind of a similar thing here. I'm just wondering, because I was like watching some of these earlier and they were below 10% or about 10% up on the day, and some of these are up much more on the day. So I've been experimenting with that a little bit. Now, somebody mentioned a while back volume buzz. I'm not a big fan of volume, and it's kind of a long story there. But the bottom line is, if there's a lot of volume and the stock's not going anywhere, that means there's a lot of churning, right? If there's light volume and the stock's going up, that's meaningless. Well, maybe not, because like Richard Ohrmes, rest his soul, used to say he considers that like an ease of movement type of movement, where the stock is easily moving in one direction with little volume, and it means nobody wants to give up their stock. That's one way of looking at it. It kind of flips the script. Now, I'm not fully into Mr. Ohrmes' research or anything, but I like his research because it kind of completely flips the script on what's normal, so to speak, about the way to interpret volume. So I can make a case for it against volume, mostly against using it at least now. But I do keep an open mind, and I do think that there are some things that might be of use. Volume by price, for instance. And I think the VWAP is something kind of along those lines. But volume by price, when I was using those charts, puts a volume on the side like this, and it shows you where it's stacking up with price. And what's kind of cool there is, it's like you can see, okay, well, there's all this trading, there's a tremendous amount of volume at this price trading. But you look at the chart, and there's like a big base there, and that would make sense. So it sort of becomes a bit of an illustrator. Now, long story endless, where I'm going with this is, someone said in kind of a braggadocious fashion, and whenever somebody brags about trading, I always become really skeptical when they brag about how easy it is. But they claim that they were using volume buzz and early morning trading or pre-market trading and looking for stocks that were up big, pre-market with lots of volume buzz. They claim to be printing money doing it, and maybe just caught them on a good day. I don't know, but maybe there's something there, but I have been paying a little attention to it. So you can see, like, this QS has 900% volume buzz, whatever. I don't know how they calculate it, but I'm guessing it's a based on some kind of average where the volume is today on that average. So a jury's still out whether or not volume buzz would be worthwhile. But in doing this Landry 100, it's kind of forcing me to look at some things that I might not have previously looked at. So might want to take a look at that. If this market keeps banging out new highs like it has been, then this relative strength type of trading might be worthwhile. As you probably know, I do some of this relative strength type of trading in crypto. So I'll short the shit coins when Bitcoin's doing well, like it is now, buy the biggest up, and I'll look to try to position in those. And I'll show you something I did in a little while. I'll show you a screw up I did in a little while, in fact. But anyway, you can see some big changes there today. I haven't gotten around to doing it too much, but I think it'd be kind of fun, and I know you want to party with me. I think it'd be kind of fun to take some screenshots of these early in the day and then see where they end up later in the day based on the percentage change. So my question is there a way to capture these trends intraday? And I've been experimenting with this a little bit in a very small way. Anyway, one thing obviously that comes out of it is you get to see where all the momentum is stacking up. And the one thing that I noticed, which was kind of cool, is that biotech is now my biggest area where I have, that means that that's the most momentum of all the stocks in the list. 13% is biotech. Now, you could argue, I guess if you lumped all the metals together, then that would be more like 19% for all the metals and mining and stuff. But for the most part, biotech is certainly one of the biggest or second biggest, depending on how you want to count, piece of the pie. And if you look at like the IBB, which we'll look at it in just a minute, it's got a lot of overhead supply, but I'm seeing a lot of setups within the sector. So maybe I don't know if it's a tail wags a dog or how you want to look at that, but maybe there's like gaining momentum within the sector to make it worthwhile. And obviously, because these biotech stocks were all put in at brand new highs, then it's quite possible that there could be a new bull market developing there. And because they're at new highs, it means there's no overhead supply for those individual issues at least. Ideally, yeah, you want the sector to reflect what's going on with your setups and the individual stocks. But in this particular case, I'm seeing some improvement internally, and the Landry 100 has helped me to see that. But anyway, as I said a second ago, gold is the second biggest sector. And then you can see up here, industrial metals and minerals, 9%. So, and this is 11% for gold. I don't know if you see that or not. So that's 20% overall is in metals. Now, I don't, if I'm seeing, I mean, I guess if I saw a biotech, if I had, let's say I had five slots to fill and there were four more biotechs and there were some other issues that were interesting, I might put some of those other issues that are interesting, but I'm trying to keep this list as pure as possible. So I'm not sure how big it could possibly get with one sector. And obviously in the real world, maybe that might be too much of a weighting in one particular sector. Anyway, there's all the breakdown. And again, biotechnology at 13%. Now, what's kind of cool is this, like airports and air services is one. And I think that's, it's not HOVR, it might be Joby. So that's really kind of more of a, I guess it's now become like a defense stock. And what's kind of cool about that is it shows you like some tiny little subsector that might be worth going after. And the other example is like small scale nuclear. I forget what they have it listed as, but it's a small scale nuclear company. I think that's SMR for that one. So there's some little things that come out of this that are kind of cool. And I know you're going to party with me, but it's been a wonderful experiment and I hope to stick with it. All right, last week and then a few weeks before that, I showed some debacles and here's the latest debacle. And the reason I'm showing you this is one, because momentum does end badly, okay? Usually not this badly, but it can, okay? And two, there's no money management in the Landry 100. Now, in my experiment that I did, I was buying very small positions, like $1,000 in each one, and I put in a limit order, a good deal canceled, and after hours included for 100% gain. And I've hit, can't look at the moment, but I've hit, I think, three or four on that. So those are 100% free rides or free positions, so to speak. The problem is you do, without buying all 100 stocks, you are going to get whacked a lot. And I did get whacked kind of a lot. I think I bought right into the market slide, as Murphy would have it. But anyway, so this was up 100%. I think if you were doing this with real money, you'd be stupid not to take off maybe half of your shares. And then that way, if the market implodes, God forbid, you at least you made something on it. And so you could see it imploded today. Now, the other thing that it's been showing, and this is the beauty of paying attention to these momentum lists, and I'm so glad that I restarted this. Now, check back when we get into a choppy bear market, whether or not I feel like keeping up with this list. But one thing that I've been noticing lately is a lot of these debacle du jours have been Chinese stocks. And I noticed, I'm not sure that this is a Chinese stock. I couldn't find a lot of information on it, but I found the website. And the website looks like it's in Chinese, and they're talking about products being in Hong Kong dollars. So it's Hong Kong, which technically I guess is China too, or it's now China. So I've been to Hong Kong, but I haven't been to China, but I guess I could tell people now I've been to China. These are random thoughts I talk about each week. As you just saw, it ends badly. And if you get in the bear market, obviously, as I showed before, when the market slid a while back, we had like grocery stores and drugs and things like that. But eventually they begin to weaken too. So there's not always a bull market somewhere. And then I treat cash as an asset class. So as I take stocks out, if I can't find a new stock, which there's plenty now, but if I can't find a new stock to go in the slot, I will just leave it alone, leave it as cash, so to speak. So everyone thinks when they become a trader, at some point a switch is going to flip and then bam, you're a trader. Okay. And it doesn't really work like that. What happens is you slowly learn little things and then relearn little things too. And I'll show you something in just 1 second, a goof up that I made, woke up to this morning. But everyone thinks some big epiphany is going to happen, and you will have little epiphanies along the way. But the bottom line is, and I started this series about a year and a half ago or so, I learned that it's really a million little things that are going to make you a successful trader. And I'm going to beat the dead horse on these each week, especially as I make the mistakes, because in some ways I've become the definition of insanity with this stuff. Anyway, you want to see each position to its fruition. And as I said, whenever I did this one, maybe a year ago, if you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. And that, I like using that phrase because it struck a chord with someone who was having a hard time holding on to positions. And basically I told him, I said, look, just honor your stop. And as long as you're not stopped out, stick with the position. Don't micromanage. You're in for a penny, in for a pound. And boy, it really clicked with it for some reason. So I thought I would use that again. Now, here's the thing. There's virtually always a reason to exit a position and rarely a reason to stay. I've done complete presentations on that. And I forget the exact numbers, but if you could dig up those presentations, it's like a ridiculous amount of time that you're in a drawdown. You're virtually always in a drawdown, even on good positions. And I've showed complete charts where it's red down below when the market's not making new highs, meaning that you're giving up open profits, even in good positions, right? And then it's green when you're making the new highs. And Greg Moore said that markets only make new highs about 4% of the time. That was in Investing with the Trend. So more often than not, you're not feeling good about your positions. Now, here's the other thing. A negative observation or a negative experience in life, however you want to look at it, has twice the effect of a positive one, okay? And that's what, as I've said 1,000 times, that's one of the things that creates a gambler's ruin. The addicted gamblers start chasing that high, and you feel really bad when you lose, twice as bad as you do when you win, and then that just kind of snowballs from there. So when you're looking at a position, and again, most of the time that position is going to be in a drawdown, it's very hard from a psychological basis. And one thing I was thinking about, as I think I mentioned earlier, is that I was like, okay, well, today's presentation doesn't have a lot of psychology in it, but I guess it does in the psychology of how hard it is to follow the plan. And that's the other thing too, is a lot of times you think, okay, what's wrong with me? And I go back to, as I've said quite a bit, whenever I give a presentation, I talk to the person, I talked to me 20 something years ago, 25 years ago, and what do I want to hear? And that's what Connors many years ago, back in the late 90s, told me. It's like, just talk to the people and tell them what they need to hear and just talk, you know, and don't try to be all fancy and catch every zig and zag, which he caught me doing a few times trying to look smart and all. And he kind of called me on, and I'm glad he did. I was very fortunate to have that type of mentorship, so to speak, early on. But anyway, there's the parameters. This is KTOS. Entry was here. Stop was down here. Initial profit target up here. Now, within like the first day of getting in fact, by the close, on a 100K account, you were up $1,134, at least on the high. So at least intraday, you were that high. And the next day, or about the same amount. But then what happens on the third day in a position, bam, it implodes. But the stop is still a long ways away. It came up a little bit, which I don't have in here, maybe to like 37 and change, but not enough to stop you out. Now, that swing from a $1,134 gain on a hypothetical 100K account, I do take these trades. I do take the exact share amount or thereabouts, okay, in my model account, and then I take the trades in other accounts too. So any trade I recommend is a trade that I will be taking too. And I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but there's a lot of people that make a lot of calls out there. and they don't actually trade the stocks. And then one out of however many take off, they're like, "Ooh, look at that." I'm like, "Well, you know, how much did you make?" Nothing. Anyway, you can see that 1456, that's on 100K. So if your account's bigger than that, that number could be substantially bigger. And that's a bit of a bummer. But it did fortunately begin to rally. Okay, in for a penny, in for a pound, follow the plan, all the other good stuff. And at that point, you're taking a 1% overall profit. So that's a $1,000 profit. So now this is doing much, much better. And it's up another couple of points today. So tack on another $300 or so to that. So a little bit over 3,000 total. Now, remember at the initial profit target, we're going to bank 1,000, and that's per 100K. So far so good on that one, but it's been a bit of a bumpy ride, especially after making a lot of money and then going in. Now, one thing you got to be really careful about, obviously, is you don't want to mentally monetize, and it's hard not to do it. I know, because we all watch our P&Ls, right? But it's hard not to say, "Wow, I made $1,000, $1,100 in 2 days. That feels really good." Or at the end of one day, you're like, "Oh, look at that, I'm up $1,100." And then to watch that evaporate and then lose it all and go into a loss, it's not easy, okay? But all you gotta do is follow the plan, right? Now that swing back up is a $3,032 swing. Now, by taking the partial profits, you are gonna help to mitigate some of those swings. But if the position still continues to move in your favor, you're still gonna have some fairly substantial drawdowns. And believe me, it's kind of hard to stomach. It's like, you know, you probably think, "Oh, Dave just follows a plan." No, I cuss and fuss. And believe me, I drop a lot of F-bombs. And I've got my F-bomb here. I'm not going to drop it because it breaks something every time. It weighs a ton. Breaks something every time I drop it. Anyway, here's another one, TFPM. And you can see the parameters down below. And again, these are DaveLandry.com/archives. If you want to look at the older ones, more newer ones on YouTube, youtube.com/DaveLandry. And if you want to see them live, you could subscribe to the trading service. Entry there, stop down there, initial profit target up here. Now, this one's kind of extreme. So you were up $443 within a day, okay? And it kind of hung in there. And then a few days later, it implodes. And thank God it didn't hit the stop, okay? But you had a $1,629 loss. That's a swing of 2,072. So that's a 2% swing on your entire equity if you were trading a 100K account. Obviously, if you're trading a bigger account, then that number could be substantial. Now, once again, fortunately, this one came back and we banked $1,000. And then there was $1,400 open at this peak right here. And that swing back up was a $4,029 swing. Unfortunately, it's come back in. Now, the good news is, like I said earlier, by banking that profit, so we already banked $1,000. So worst case scenario, barring overnight gaps, at least we made $1,000, right? But you could see it drew down to $444, still positive, but $444. And that's a $956 drop, or 0.95%, 1% for all intents and purposes on a whatever size your account is. But that's on a 100K account, be $956. Here's KJC. We haven't quite banged out the IPT here. Almost said, "Let's hope." Entry was there, stop was there, initial profit target was up here. Now, at this particular point, it's had open profits of about 960. The stop was moved higher on this particular day here. The stop was moved higher because it's a new closing high, at least from where you got in. And then most of those gains evaporated to where you had an $850 drop in the account. And then you're like, "Hey, Dave, it's going sideways for a while. Should we get out?" That's what, 6 weeks? No. And this is the one that I use for a dead money report not that long ago. BTM, this is the mystery chart we talked about earlier, or wasn't a mystery chart actually. The entry was here, stop was here, IPT is here. Now, within a couple of days, once again, we're up okay, $456. and then it slid, and then you're down $856. And then today it slid a little bit further. So it's but it's up in here somewhere. But anyway, we'll see how it shakes out. But that's a $1,312 slide, and that's a pretty big slide if you're watching every tick. By the way, one thing you could do is make fewer observations, okay? I look at the screens a lot, way more than I should, get pissed off, go do something, come back. And not all the time, but a lot of times the market comes back and I'm like, oh, well, I sure did waste a lot of energy for nothing. Anyway, here's the VG. Entry was there, stop is here, additional profit target up here. So once again, we were okay profitable or a little bit profitable early in the trade. And then unfortunately, it drew down and to minus 750, minus 752. That's a $982 swing. So that is no bueno. But what do you do? You follow the plan. It's much easier said than done, believe me. And that's why I'm often preaching about commitment devices. And my commitment device is that I actually recommended this stock and I recommended a stop for this stock. And my plan is to not get out until I'm stopped out. Now, had I not recommended this stock, I wouldn't have that commitment device there. Okay. And then a little bit harder for me to be disciplined, but I'm like, okay, well, I'm supposed to be disciplined. I need to practice what I'm preach. So that's kind of my commitment device there. And I'll just work really hard to follow the plan. But following a plan is a lot harder than it looks. Okay. Now, this one kind of dovetails into a million little things. And I'm sure somewhere out there I have one that says, don't forget to place your orders. But this one I bought, and then I put an IPT of 20% there, as I have plainly marked in this chart. And that's where you sell half, okay? This is KERNEL, whatever the hell that is, Colonel Dow. And then, as part of this experiment, this ongoing experiment, it's my shitcoin to Bitcoin strategy. I mine off a little bit, so to speak. I take some of those profits. In this case, should have been a couple hundred bucks. And put $25 in Bitcoin just for S&Gs and see what happened. Well, I woke up this morning and I checked my phone and I noticed that I hit the IPT, but it came right back in. It's like, no problem. At least I know I got some profits on this. And when I get to the office, I'm going to buy a tiny little bit of Bitcoin to add to my little stash. Unfortunately, I realized that I'd forgot to place a limit order. So that's where a million little things come in. So here's a live example of an F up, which I don't know if anybody else will ever show you F up, but I'll show you plenty. Where I forgot to laugh to keep from crying. You know, sometimes I giggle or something, and people are like, "How could you laugh? We're losing money." I'm like, oh, "Okay, I'm laughing to keep from crying. I'm not being schadenfreude or anything." But anyway, mostly taking the piss out of myself. Here's the case where now it's a small trade. Who cares, right? But you make little mistakes, you start making big mistakes. So shame on me. All right, speaking of crypto, let's shift over to crypto, and then we'll pop out to the overall market, stock market. All right, so let's take a look at Bitcoin. Bitcoin is just kind of hanging in there. And I put out a tweet a while back and said, well, we got 10 or 12 days of Landry Light, wait for a breakout. And we finally got the breakout. I wouldn't, just because you have some Landry Light back here, doesn't mean you want to buy it. In fact, here's a Landry Light. You can take a look at that. Let's take a look at the last 3 months. So you can see no Landry Light here or very little because they're intersecting and you have a little green, none, little green, none, little red, little green, none. Okay. Well, also look at the chart. Well, what's it doing? It's just chopping around sideways. It's not doing anything. And then you start to build a little bit momentum. It starts to trade above that EMA. And I think on day 8 or something, I put out a tweet, 8 days of Landry Light. But wait for a breakout. Well, now we have the breakout. Had a little bit of a minor TKO type of move couple days ago. So if it takes out this high here somewhat decisively, that would be a buy for Bitcoin. In this particular case, I prefer if this TKO move was a little bit further down, was a little bit more deeper, but it's there nonetheless. Here's this kernel that I bought. Looks like I probably have to get out of it now, unfortunately. So this is another lesson learned. These shitcoins move really fast, SHYT, and you better make darn sure you have an order in place. As I said quite a bit, sometimes you can just buy the ones making new highs. Okay, I don't recommend you do this in stocks unless we're in a rip-roaring bull market like the aforementioned client of mine. And the year 1999 would be a good year for that. But when Bitcoin is kind of hanging in there, sometimes, again, as I preach each week, you just go by the strongest ones, sort by the strongest ones. And this one's, that's a little too far. That's a little ridiculous. But look to possibly position in some that look like they're just kind of getting going. That's some stocks. And ideally, I like to buy them when there's clear air and they're at the top of the bar. Like that's kind of interesting. Oh, that's Australian dollar. Never mind. Or against Australian dollar. Like this cookie. This is kind of waking up a little bit. It's probably like a meme coin or something, but that's kind of interesting. So top of the bar, up 8%. So possible works there. This KRL looks kind of interesting. You can see beginning to break out nicely. Not a whole lot of resistance right there. So just sometimes you can just buy the strongest ones. I bought Ripple at $3, which seems extended, but it's going up, right? Now be prepared, obviously, for a bumpy ride when you're doing that type of trading. That was a little extended, but that was kind of interesting. Or that might have been something related to Ripple. But anyway, you kind of get the idea. Any pairs you guys want me to look at? Any thoughts? Any questions? If not, we'll jump into stocks. So here's some of the big winners. Like that's a big winner today with 400% volume buzz. Here's another one. Now I was looking at some of these earlier when they were up like 10%. And now they're up substantially. So here's this is like a it's considered aircraft. What's it? Aircraft and airports or something. I forget what the industry is for that one. I lost my industry. But this is actually like some kind of hovercrafts, like military hovercrafts mostly. So maybe that should be lumped in with defense. But it's kind of a niche or niche type of sector. And there's another one here. I forget the name of it. Oh, Joby, which should also be in this list. Yeah, there's Joby right there. So Joby's up 50% since it joined the Landry 100, coming off its best levels today, but it's still a decent day nonetheless. All right, let's take a look at the overall market. If you have any individual stocks you want me to look at, I'd be happy to do that. S&P 500, not a bad day so far. If we can close here, we'll be at all-time highs. Bit of a kind of a minor triple top, what I call a knockout. You've got this knockout move here, and then that would be triggering as of today. Just kind of a minor pattern. I wouldn't rush out and trade just off of that. So far, the breakout remains intact. As long as this 6,100-ish level holds, I think we're going to be okay. Nasdaq Composite, not a bad day there, up over 0.75% so far, knock on wood. It had a TKO type of move yesterday, a knockout move, although it didn't take out this prior low, so technically that's not a TKO, but it looks somewhat like a TKO. Nice day so far. If we can close there, we'll close obviously at all-time highs. Rusty 2000, not a bad day there. It still has a lot of overhead chop to get through. So one day at a time there. You know what I mean? I sure like to see it just push through and not look back. But at least the Rusty's has been improving somewhat as of late. Gold, the commodity, a little sideways as of late. Longer term, still looks pretty good. Take a look at the weekly chart. You can see it's still in an uptrend. But yeah, a little choppy as of late. So make sure you wait for entries if you go up to any stocks there. Same thing goes for gold stocks. And generally, certainly lost some momentum. As I said earlier, take a look at like IBB, tons and tons of overhead supply, but I'm seeing quite a bit of momentum there. If you go to Landry 100, there's a lot of biotechs. In fact, we've got time. Let's just jump in real quick. We'll go back to that Landry 100. I don't know if I have my industry in there, though. Let's see. By the way, somebody is pretending to be me. I guess never thought I'd be famous enough. Wow. To where someone would try to pretend to be me. Somebody's pretended to be me on Substack. It's not. If you see one with a lowercase Landry, that is not me. And if there's very little posts, and if that gentleman or whatever he or she or it is contacts you, tell them to, well, just tell them something. All right. So let's add the industry in and then sort by industry. And then let's take a look at these biotechs. So you can see quite a few biotechs, super speculative issues, but these biotechs, at least the ones in this list, are pretty darn strong. So again, sometimes you can find some hidden strength in the market. That one will probably come out today. That's pretty weak. So that'll come out today if it hasn't already come out, but it'll come out today. Anyway, so that's kind of the idea there. Let's get back to the market. Any stocks you guys want to look at? We'll wrap it up here in just a few minutes. So getting back to stocks, semiconductors, I'm a big fan of the semiconductor supporting the overall market. Probably a good thing to do would be like SMH colon SPY and pay attention to that relationship, that ratio. I guess that's what that is. You could do that in stock charts, but I would keep an eye on that. I think that'd be something. I know here goes my nerd speak's going to come out. Fun to do. But yeah, SPY, SMH had a new closing high if we could close there today, obviously. So that's looking pretty darn good. The rare earths and palladiums and platinums of the world, you see palladium straight up as of late. Platinum's doing really well. There's uranium, URA, you can see banging out some new highs. So that's doing really well. Cyber security came all the way back into this breakout level. So that was a bit of a bummer, but now it's beginning to rally again. So far, it's doing pretty good. So keep an eye on those prior breakout levels in a lot of those areas. Defense has been on fire, a little bit of an opening gap reversal today. If it can hold that little tiny gain, it'll close at all-time highs. So that's been doing really well. Platinum, as mentioned earlier, is banging out some new highs with a bit of vigor. So that's looking pretty darn good. You know, what I probably should do it's like, can't beat them, join them, right? Or can't join them, beat them, whatever. I do believe in trading individual stocks, but I do think it'd be kind of interesting to run a list of ETFs, kind of like the Landry 100s ran. So it would, palladium, platinum would be in there, and obviously SMH and URA and anything like XME that's banging out some new highs with vigor. This metals and mining overall. So that's looking pretty darn good. Gold's been lagging again lately, but maybe it'll kick it in the gear. Maybe it's just catching its breath. We have two gold stocks, obviously, TFPM and KGC. TFPM obviously hit the profit target, but KGC has not. Cloud computing, lots of overhead supply. So there are some areas out there that are still mixed and questionable or certainly questionable things. But it's having a good day today. And in general, it's been an uptrend, so certainly improving. One thing I was telling my clients last night on the trading service is that I'm actually okay that there's a lot of mixed action out there, because when those mixed areas or areas with some issues like cloud computing and like biotech, for instance, when they start pushing through that overhead supply and the overall sector begins to rally, that's going to help to lift the overall market. So the market right now is it fired on all eight cylinders, and it's making brand new highs. So what's going to happen when it fires on all eight cylinders? I know that's wishful thinking, but we'll have to see what happens. But anyway, overall, things are looking pretty good. Now, some areas have been improving, but they have a lot of problems, like these alternative energy stocks like solar. You can see they're going to have a really hard time getting through this overhead supply. Okay, any individual stocks you guys want me to look at? Any questions? I'll give YouTube a second to catch up. Well, while we're in an impasse, I want to obviously thank all you guys and girls for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. Anything unanswered, Dave at DaveLandry.com. I'll see everybody here in GoToWebinar. We'll see you guys and girls in a few minutes in Facebook. Everyone else, we'll hope to see you again next week. Have a great week, and may the trend be with you. Thank you so much. You're welcome.